Now we read together in Romans 5. Let's return there for a few minutes of reflection. Romans 5. Give me back the joy I had. We've just sung from Psalm 51. Joy is something that ought to be a very central part of Christian experience. Romans 5 speaks about joy. In verse 2 it says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In verse 11, we rejoice in God. We rejoice in God himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes our enjoyment of being forgiven and of being in a right relationship with God is eclipsed or lost. In the series we've been doing the last few Sunday mornings on the theme of guilt and grace, we've seen how guilt destroys relationships and our relationship with God especially, and how grace, God's salvation, restores them. Verse 11 says that we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've received reconciliation. If we've been reconciled to God, if we've been brought into God's friendship and family, it's something we should enjoy. But today I want to think about something that can spoil the enjoyment of that salvation, hopefully so that we can do something about it. And it's this. People will say to me, and I do hear this, you probably heard it from time to time, and maybe you're saying it yourselves. I know that God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. I know that God has forgiven me, but I find myself hard to live with. I can't forgive myself. It's something you'll hear often, and not just in Christian context. You'll often hear people say, I can't forgive myself for doing that. It's a very common feature of human experience. I wonder if you're saying that today. I can't forgive myself. If you are saying that, let me ask first of all, how would that situation arise? What would it take for someone to get to the place where they would say, I can't forgive myself? Well, usually what happens is it's because we see the impact of what we've done or the way we've lived on other people. We've wronged them in some way. And what we say to ourselves, if we already know God's forgiveness in Jesus, we say, I know God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself because I see the damage that I've done. Maybe even the person themselves, if they're conscious of you having wronged them, maybe they've even forgiven you. But you still have a nagging sense of wrong. It feels like you haven't forgiven yourself. Maybe it was your whole lifestyle that you feel was wrong, that has had an impact on them. I mean, we parents, for example, those of us who are parents, often feel, I've mucked up my kids. You know, my lifestyle, the way I dealt with issues when I was bringing them up, has done damage to them. We often feel that. I should have been a better dad, should have been a better mother. Or in marriage, should have been a better husband. I wish I was a better wife. Or as kids, you know, I put my parents through terrible anxiety and suffering. Oh, I should have been a better son. If only I'd been a better daughter. If I'd just been a better neighbour, that wouldn't have happened to them. If I'd just been a better Christian, better example, maybe they wouldn't find themselves so far from God now or whatever. We see the harm that we've done. Or we think we've done. Even maybe it wasn't us, but we think it is us. That we've damaged them. And we reproach ourselves for it. Or sometimes it's not like the whole of our life. It's maybe just one really bad thing we did. Because like Psalm 51 is one really bad thing. David justifiably could beat himself up for a long time afterwards for doing that one really bad thing. But it can happen to anyone. We can do something that is a lowering of our usual standards that really, afterwards, we think, why did I do that? We make one uncharacteristically bad choice and we say, I'll never forgive myself. I've let so many people down. Sometimes, though, we feel that because of the fact we're still getting things wrong. We've got this habit, we've got this sin, and we hate it. We hate ourselves for it. We can't break free from it. We're down in ourselves. We feel bad. We feel stupid. We feel disgusted. We say, I know God's forgiven me, but I can't let myself off. And we really hammer ourselves for these things too. So there are all kinds of ways through which people do end up really giving themselves a hard time. And it happens to people who are Christians, who know the forgiveness of God and ought to be rejoicing. In fact, I would probably say most people I know who are Christians, who have grasped the fact that they've been forgiven, are not enjoying that fact as much as they should be. And for a lot of them, it is because they're down on themselves. So we can say Romans 5 is a classic passage explaining what we have in Jesus. In verse 1, we are made right, we're made just before God through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Verse 1, verse 2, we've gained access into the grace in which we stand. And so it goes on. Verse 8, God's demonstrated his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we know all these things are true. We believe God's forgiven us, but we haven't found peace with ourselves. We keep beating ourselves up. And because of that, we don't enjoy the Christian life as we should. We don't rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We don't rejoice in God. It's verse 2 and verse 11 say, do you know that feeling? Maybe you put it like this. I can't forgive myself. Maybe that's how you put it. I can't forgive myself. Because that's what it feels like. Okay, is that really the problem though? Is that really the problem? Do we really need to forgive ourselves? You'll certainly find that stated in modern psychology a lot of the time. You'll find people saying we need to forgive ourselves, and you will find people who have nothing to do with the Christian faith saying it. You know, you'll often hear people advise one another person, you need to forgive yourself. And it sounds very, very fine, and it sounds like a very Christian sort of thing to do, to forgive yourself. But can you show me anywhere in the Bible where it says you need to be forgiven? You need to forgive yourself, rather. Jesus and his apostles were the people who understood most clearly what salvation is all about. Do they ever say, you need God's forgiveness, but you also need to forgive yourself? Do they? Well, the answer is no. They never say that. It's not something that you're ever advised to do in the Bible. It's not something you're ever commanded to do. In fact, if you look through Christian writing throughout the centuries, you would not find anything about forgiving yourself until you get to the 20th century, when modern psychology started saying you need to forgive yourself. And the Christians started christening that teaching and making it Christian. Now, I'm not denying the feeling, because the feeling is real. You feel down in yourself. You feel regrets, disappointment in yourself. The things you're doing, the things you've done, that really bad choice you made and the impact it's had on others. The feeling's real. But is the diagnosis that you need to forgive yourself right? It's important to get your diagnosis right. You know, sometimes we have these nagging health problems, and we don't know what's wrong with us. And we go along to the doctor, and the doctor will give us a name for it. And sometimes that's all we need. I know what's wrong now. I've got such and such syndrome or whatever it happens to be. And we feel better just to get the label. What if it's the wrong label? What if they misdiagnose and they give you the wrong treatment? That can make you worse. And I think that's what can happen in the Christian life if we're trying to do this thing, forgive ourselves, when that's not really what we need to do at all. We feel like we kind of have to, but how do you forgive yourself? That's not something that is easy to grasp. Maybe that's because it's not something we need to do. Maybe it's something else that we really need to do. So let me now just show a bit more from Romans 5 why we don't need to forgive ourselves. Let's look at verse 10 especially. There Paul says that when you're not trusting in Jesus, when you don't have a way by which your sins are forgiven, you are, verse 10, God's enemies. And we sang about that in Psalm 51, where David says, I sinned against you, God. You know, I know I committed adultery and I arranged for someone's murder and so on, but it's against you, you only, I have sinned. That's how David puts it. You know, when all is said and done, it's our relationship with God that is destroyed by our sin. We become enemies of God. Sin is against God. It's his world. It's his economy, if you like. It's his universe. It's his place. And we're sinning against him. It's a personal affront to all that he wants for the best for his world. We don't sin against ourselves. We sin against him. I was trying to think of a passage where it says we sin against ourselves. The closest I could get to was in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, where Paul says, whoever sins sexually sins against his own body. Now, does Paul mean then that we need to forgive ourselves for sinning against our own body? Does that mean we need to ask our own bodies for forgiveness? Well, that's not what Paul's talking about there at all. If you look at the passage, what he means is you do yourself harm when you sin sexually. You defile yourself. But he's not then going on to say, so you need to ask yourself for forgiveness. What he goes on to say is, you need God's forgiveness. The problem in our lives is where we stand with God. And if we're God's enemies, that's a big problem. But Christ has fixed our relationship with God. Verse 10 goes on to say, if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, and so on. We were reconciled. I didn't sin against myself, so I have to forgive myself. I sinned against God, so I need his forgiveness. And that's what Christ has sorted. He has come to fix our wrong relationship with God, to reconcile us to God. So once that's fixed, I need to be happy with that. God calls me his friend. That's what reconciliation is. We are made to be his friends. We are at peace with him. We are one with him. Now, if God is happy to call me his friend, then it's not my business to call myself my own enemy. You know, if God makes me his friend, I can't say, God, you may call me friend, but I can't call myself friend. Because that's like denying what God is saying about me. If God has accepted me, are my standards higher than God's? So that I can say I'm not good enough when God says I am? So I can say I'm not forgiven when God says I am? We can't have higher standards than God's. And again, the effect of reconciliation is to deal with the past, to deal with everything in the past. And if God has dealt with it, if he's saying, I'm not going to think about that anymore, I'm not going to hold that against you anymore, is it our business then to drag it up? To dredge it up and insist on saying, God, you got to think about this again. I'm a bad person. And God's saying, look, I've dealt with that. I don't want you to go dredging up the past. I'm reconciled to you. Be at peace. So what we really need to do is to grasp more clearly what God has done for us in reconciling himself to us through Jesus. And if he's reconciled to us, then we need to be therefore reconciled to ourselves, because he's reconciled to us. You know, we have that saying, you know, any friend of so-and-so is a friend of mine, sort of thing. Well, in Christian terms, any friend of God is a friend of mine. That's the way it must be for Christians. Any friend of God is a friend of mine. Now, if God says I'm his friend, then I've got to be my own friend. I've got to accept myself, be reconciled to myself. But then people say, okay, but what about I can still see the damage I've done? I let people down badly. In some way or another, I failed them. And I can still see the effect of that failure on them. And it drags me down. Well, are you sure that you can say that you were the cause? Because you may not have been the cause at all. See, people make their own choices. And sometimes people would make the wrong choices despite or notwithstanding what we've done to them. People stand before God on their own account, not on our account. If I've been bad to someone, and I have been bad to people in the past, there's probably people around today who would say I'm still bad to them. But if I've been bad to someone, God is not going to say to that someone, oh, Roddy's been bad to you, so I'm going to be bad to you. Is he? That's not the way God works. God is compassionate. Roddy's been bad to you, so I have compassion on you. That's how God thinks. See, people will make their own choices. If they are not, for example, responding to God themselves, it's not because you've been bad to them. It's because of their own choice. They are making their own choices. And you, what would help them more than anything, if you are still in touch with these people, is for you to be in such a clear place of knowing God's forgiveness yourself and rejoicing in it, that with that joy in your heart, you can go to them and show them the change in your own life and show them the richness of what you have, that they, you may help them to find it for themselves. We must recognize that God deals with each individual on their own basis. He isn't counting our sins, rather, against other people, because he isn't even counting them against us if we've trusted his son, Jesus. Now, of course, sometimes Christians suffer from depression. Depression is no respecter of people. It hits Christians and non-Christians alike. And it's a painful thing. It's a horrible thing to suffer from, because your thinking isn't clear. Your thinking is distorted, because when you're depressed, depression tends to make you focus on negatives. And often the negatives that depression will make you focus on are negatives about yourself, your failures. And in depression, you become your own enemy. You're down on yourself. Let me say a few things about that. First of all, God is not depressed. He's not depressed. His thinking is straight and clear. And he's not thinking like us. While we may be depressed and saying, I can't forgive myself, God knows that if we have trusted his precious Son, he has forgiven us. And we are forgiven. And no matter what we're saying about ourselves, we're reconciled to him. And he loves us. And he isn't counting against us, but we're counting against ourselves. Depression is a distorting thing. Sometimes even we count our own depression against ourselves. I'm a Christian, I shouldn't be depressed. But that's not true. You know, it's hard to see this, but that's a bit like saying, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have a broken leg. Because depression comes about through all kinds of reasons, and it can be something completely out with our control. God doesn't count depression against us any more than he would count a broken leg against us. He doesn't. What God wants us to see is that he is free from that negative thinking which blights our lives. And he would want us to, if we can find any comfort, to find comfort in that. That while we may still be thinking negatively about ourselves, he is not. And he's the one who sees clearly because he's not depressed. We're the ones who are not seeing clearly. But at least let us comfort ourselves with this. What he's done for us in Christ means that he accepts us even if we don't accept ourselves. So let's just finish up then thinking, well, what would help them? What will help the person who is down on themselves, who is saying, I can't forgive myself. I just can't let myself off the hook. I'm really ashamed of myself, really disgusted with myself, I'm really disappointed with myself. It just weighs with me all the time. Well, what do we need to do? Well, for a start, we can absorb the things I've already just said about why we don't have any cause to think we need to forgive ourselves, because what we do need is God's forgiveness. And if God's forgiven us, then we need to accept ourselves just as he has. In other words, what we need to do is not forgive ourselves, but see how God has forgiven us. See it clearly. We need to see clearly what Jesus has done then. If when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled, verse 10, to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So it just gets better. Jesus died for us. Jesus lives for us. We're reconciled. We're saved. We're in a right relationship with God. These things are things that if we grasp them, they will completely release us. So instead of looking at ourselves, which is what we're doing when we're saying, I need to forgive myself, that's like looking in the mirror and trying to solve your problems looking in the mirror. Get rid of the mirror. Look to your Father in heaven. That's what it's saying. To every Christian man or woman, young person, look to your Father in heaven. Verse 8, he demonstrates his love for you in this. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Verse 11, it says, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Why do we rejoice? Because we've received reconciliation. But I want to just close with an illustration of what Christians really need to do with this. We need to receive what we've received. It says we've received reconciliation, and if you are a man or woman who has trusted in Jesus, then you've received it. But what I'm saying is sometimes you need to receive what you've received. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, my family are very generous times of year, like Christmas coming up. And they'll give me, if I haven't actually had the foresight to give them a Santa list, then they'll probably give me some clothes instead of nice bits from a mountain bike, which is much, much more appropriate. But they'll give me some clothes, nice clothes. But I'm a bit of a conservative guy when it comes to clothes. Sometimes it takes me a wee bit of time to get used to the idea of wearing what they've given me. So I'll get a really nice shirt, and I'll get it, and I'll think, okay, I'll stick it in the wardrobe for a while. And the months will pass, and I'll look at it every so often, and not yet. And eventually, I'll reconcile myself to wearing this article of clothing, and after that it'll be fine. After that, I'll be wearing it all the time. And then Margaret gets sick of it. She'll get me something else. But it'll be months before I'll start wearing that. I mean, this watch here is a prime example. When I received this watch from Margaret, it was on her 10th wedding anniversary, and I had a watch already, so I didn't need a watch. And it was a digital watch, and I like digital because you can press little buttons and get all the kind of information you want. This is an analog watch. It just tells the time. I want more than that. But I tried to be very gracious about it, but it sat in a box for months before I finally kind of plucked up the courage. I mean, that's to my shame, isn't it? I mean, I should have said, you know, oh, wonderful, a watch. I should have chucked the other one away and put this one on straight away and not hurt my wife's feelings. But she hasn't let me forget about that, of course. See, you've got to receive something. It's what you have received. And it's the same with salvation. We're justified through faith, verse 1 says. When we put our faith in Jesus and what he's done as our means of peace with God, then we have peace with God. That's what it says. As long as we're trying to find peace with God in other ways, it won't work. But when we finally settle on Jesus and what he's done for us as our means of peace with God, we have peace. Okay. We have received reconciliation, as verse 11 puts it. We've received it. But we may still be beating ourselves up. We may still be saying, I need to forgive myself. I can't. Oh, it's terrible, the things I did, and look at the mess I've made, and how I've hurt other people, and so on. Well, what we need to do in that situation is receive what we received. Stop leaving your salvation hanging in the wardrobe. Put it on. Get it on. I have received reconciliation. Right. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it as a garment. I'm going to wear my salvation as something that I carry around with me every day. It governs my thinking. It governs the way I look at the world and at myself. And because I know that every moment of the day, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. And I have been reconciled to God. I can enjoy my life. I can enjoy my peace. I can enjoy God. And I can enjoy the hope of the glory of God. When we wear what we're given, it's a lot more use to us than when it's just sitting in the wardrobe. And when we've trusted Jesus as the way by which we get peace with God, then we need to wear that every day and enjoy it. And then we'll no longer be down on ourselves and seeing God's face eclipsed by our own troubled way of looking at ourselves. What we need to do is wear it. Wear our salvation. And then these feelings of I need to forgive myself, they'll go away. Because we'll just simply be accepting, I am forgiven by the one who declares forgiveness forever, the living God.